A separate case involving Donald Trump got underway in London today. Trump is suing a British private investigations firm over the infamous dossier that disrupted his 2016 bid for president.
A mom from Bexar, Texas has been jailed tonight for sending her son to school with a concoction designed to send her child's bullies to the emergency room.
All right. Ba-da-bow. Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Abe Thompson and Other Disappointments. Your twice, sometimes thrice weekly jog through the fields of dystopia, news, current affairs, and all things awful. I'm your host, Abe Thompson. This is episode 261. I want to say it was going to be a Friday night guest show this week. It was going to be like a return to form. You know, regular viewers, veteran viewers and listeners will know that Friday night we normally do a live show and I get a guest on and we try to put the world to rights, to its rights over its many, many wrongs. But yeah, unfortunately, or fortunately, I actually have a night out planned. So when you're watching this, I will be out on the town. I'll probably be shit hammered by the time you are even listening. If this is like 7:30 on Friday night, I will have been on the sauce since 5. If I'm feeling with it, if I'm feeling not too sort of embarrassed and like, you know, all thumbs, like I might try and jump into the chat and quickly say hello. So if future me is still sober enough to jump into the live chat, hello, future me. What should we talk about this time? What should we try to make sense of this week? I mean, obviously, the big story of the week has been the budget. Jeremy Hunt, Rishi Sunak have been, you know, trying to win back floating voters and disillusioned conservative voters who have, you know, run away from Sunakism, for want of a better word. Is there even such a thing as Sunakism? I mean, people criticize Boris Johnson for not really having, you know, an ideology or any grounded principles of conservatism. I mean, say what you like about Liz Truss. She did. I mean, there's policies that you could attach to her, right? There's an ideology to her. There's a doctrine. Low tax, small state. I mean, yes, she went a bit crazy with it. Yes, she went a bit too far, too fast. But with Sunak, how would you categorize Sunakism? You know? I mean, a lot of his critics would say it's con-socialism, right? It's still that sort of private school, Oxbridge-educated, posh boy kind of vibe. But when it comes down to the economics of it, a ballooning state, the furlough scheme, then he's described as a con-socialist, isn't he? So maybe they would say that that is what Sunakism is. To me, what do I associate with Rishi Sunak? You know, let's assume that he does call a general election sometime in the next, like, month or 2 months. I hope it's sooner rather than later, obviously. But let's say that he does call an election, and then after he's booted out, people are forced to define for the history books what political attributes you would, you know, put into the bracket of Sunakism. What would I put in there? How would I define Sunakism? I think I would define Sunakism as cowardly, callous, cut off and detached. You know, with all of the, oh, talk to your bank or, you know, just tough it out. Just yeah, maybe help will be on the way. You know, he just doesn't care. He does not care. So there's that. Then I think he's, let's stay with the C's, shall we? He's quite cruel. He's obviously corrupt. I mean, for somebody who ushered in this new era of accountability and integrity, all of that was out the window almost immediately. What else is he? He's cantankerous. I would throw that into Sunakism also. You know, we've all seen the interviews where He sort of sits there. He's sort of fairly faux civil, faux charm. Like, he's not actually charming, but he's what a person like that thinks being a charming person entails, you know? Like, he's, you know, superficially pleasant on top, isn't he? But it doesn't take much to pick beneath that scab. He's cantankerous. That's what he is. He's petulant. There's some of that I would throw in there. I don't know. What would you guys do? People in the live chat, people in the comments section after this. What would you throw into the bracket of Sunakism? How are we supposed to define what Sunakism was after the fact? Retrospectively, once he's finally been booted out of office. I caught a glimpse the other day of a newspaper headline. It was in the Daily Express from about, I think it was the Express, and then the Huffington Post carried it. And it was like, Sunak absolutely confident he will win the next election. It's just a picture of him looking like kind of a bit, you know, pained. I'm absolutely confident I'm going to win the... Oh, okay. All right. Okay. That must be that private school self-confidence coming out there. What other C words could we use to describe Rishi Sunak? Clerical. Clerical is something that I've been thinking about recently. I call him Sermon Sunak because of this tone that he adopts. What he's doing is like, you know, there will be a national address from the Prime Minister this evening at 5:40 p.m. Like that sort of thing. He stands outside number 10, or it's filmed in his office, and he speaks directly to the camera. Shall I? I'll see now if I can pull one up. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Sermon Sunak, right? Here we go.
There are forces here at home trying to tear us apart. Since October the 7th, there have been those trying to take advantage of the very human angst that we all feel about the terrible suffering that war brings to the innocent, to women and children, to advance a divisive, hateful ideological agenda.
Now, this is what gets me about this. It's like, why does he have to put on this tone? Like, it doesn't sound believable, does it? It doesn't sound like he actually means what he's saying. He sounds like he's cosplaying as a vicar. Doesn't he?
About the terrible suffering that war brings to the innocent, to women and children.
The terrible suffering that war brings to the innocent women and children. Like, this, it's the tone, right? I'm not imagining it. It's exactly the same as a vicar would do in a church service.
Rather, they understood community is sustained by individuals. By those who look out for their neighbour, treat others as they would like to be treated.
By those who would look out for their neighbour, treat those how you would like to be treated. He's a sermonator. That's what he is. He's the sermonator. Like, listen to him. He sounds like an old school Church of England vicar. No wonder his wife said he's her best friend. Because there's nothing going. He's vicar AF, isn't he? And I know it sounds like I'm taking the mic. I'm not. I'm genuine. I think this is a good thing. For a guy who's about to be kicked out of office like he wasn't a very good prime minister, I'm just saying, play your strengths, mate. You could be a kick-ass priest. You really could be.
By those who look out for their neighbour, treat others as they would like to be treated.
Like, it's just perfect. I'm just saying, like, if you're not going to be PM anymore and you make a kick-ass priest, like, it's a shame that he's Hindu, because he is precisely the sort of sexless, neutered eunuch that could shine in that role, guys.
By those who look out for their neighbour.
By those who would look out for their neighbour. You know, it's like, it's the little fade off at the end. Dearly beloved parish, thank you for coming here today. I will now read from the book of Paul, verses 1 through 12, the time that Paul did sit and drink wine with John, and they did write a hard day's night. Right, let's get into something else. We started early today. We've jumped straight into a story. Normally, I talk about the podcast, you know, a bit of podcast admin, and welcome you all to the show a little bit more. Today, we jumped straight into it. It's very efficient. There is a story that I wanted to touch on, though. Veteran listeners or viewers of the podcast will will be pleased, because this is very much, you know, my vibe. I used to like to jump into a story of Americana. And invariably, these would be something about, you know, costly healthcare that came back to bite somebody in the arse who had previously campaigned against socialized healthcare over there. Or, you know, something comparable, but in the world of, you know, gun control, like somebody who had campaigned against gun regulation in the US, and then, you know, their kid takes the gun into school and something horrible happens. Real Americana stories. So here is a story that I found earlier. Let's get into it. So this is on Sky News. It says, mother concocted drink to stop it being stolen by son's school bullies, leaving a child in hospital. The pupil began suffering nausea and a headache soon after drinking the mixture. So if you just need me to reread that to you for a second, just let it sink in. A mother whose child was being bullied for his school drink switched it out for a different drink that she had made, a concoction. We don't know what's in it yet. So that then the kid would go to school, he'd be bullied for the drink, the bullies would then take the drink, and then they would get very, very unwell indeed. Which, look, I nobody wants to see children getting hurt. Nobody wants to see children being sick or force-fed something that's going to make them sick. But I also think, like, if we pan out, really, this is a story about child abuse. Like, one mother's kid is getting bullied, and then she decides that the only way that she has at her disposal to sort this out, to stop these kids from stealing her kids' stuff, is to scare them off by making them a little bit unwell, right? That's how I'm interpreting it. And if I put myself in the position of a mother or father like that, you know, maybe, I'm not saying I definitely do it, but I get it. You know, if I knew that my kid was being bullied, if I knew that I was going to get in trouble, like I couldn't physically, you know, fix that situation, I don't want to go to prison for doing God knows what. But maybe there's a way for me to, you know, even the scores a bit and scare the kids off. But I understand how she's arrived at this decision, is all I'm saying. Now, let's just try to glean a little bit more information here, because, you know, I don't know how she doesn't look like a nice lady in the picture, in the mugshot. But, you know, very few people can pull off a mugshot. It's basically Lindsay Lohan and Donald Trump. They are the only two mugshots you've ever seen where the person looks steely and determined, in Donald Trump's case. You know, quite confident. Probably because he knows he's going to make like $100 million out of the merch sales of that exact picture as they're taking it. You know, the cops are probably like, I bet you feel really silly now, don't you, Donnie? And he's like, not really. Do you know how much money I'm going to make out of this exact photograph that you're taking right now? You could be taking the most valuable photograph in America this year. That's why I look so confident. Anyway, Donald Trump, steely and confident. Lindsay Lohan looked kind of hot. You know, I know nobody wants to say it, nobody wants to believe it, but she had a certain bad girl thing going on, and she's a redhead, and God knows I'm a sucker for the redheads. So Lindsay Lohan and Donald Trump, that's the only two people. Anyway, let's see what we can glean from this. It says, should I do the accent? Why not? Police say a woman has been arrested after concocting a drink to stop it from being stolen by school bullies, leaving one child in hospital. Bexar County Sheriff's deputies recalled to Legacy Traditional School. Wait, hang on. They were called to Legacy Traditional School. I mean, why would you call a school that? Why would you call a school Legacy Traditional School? I mean, how are kids supposed to have, like, you know, isn't school pride a big thing in America? Are you going to enroll in the volleyball team? Are you going to be part of the lacrosse team? It's all about school pride. Get the cheerleaders, Tuesday night football. School pride, yeah! Do it for your old man, Taylor! Like, how are you supposed to feel like you're the next up-and-coming freshman generation with ingenuity, and you are the future, the kids are the future, when the place that you're going every day that you're being institutionalized in is called Legacy Traditional School. It's like, could you call a school anything less inspiring? You know? It's like, Dad, did you manage to enroll us at Palisades and Sunset Beach High? No, I'm sorry, Craig. They only had space at a defunct redundancy co-ed. I think you're going to get along great there. They got a conveyor belt out the back that goes straight to the county jail. Anyway, let's keep reading. So the sheriff's deputies were called to Legacy Traditional School, Alamo Ranch in Texas. Of course it's in Texas. Obviously it's in Texas. After a child became sick. Upon arrival, they were told the stricken child had been given a drink by a classmate during the PE lesson. Like, already I'm beginning building a picture in my head here of, like, the kid gets bullied every day, gets his Ribena or his Coca-Cola taken away from him. And then one day, his mum is like, hey, Junior, come here. Put this in your bag. And when those kids try to take your drink, you give them this. Right, and then he waits until PE, which I always thought they called phys ed. And I always thought they called lessons class in America. Anyway, and now I'm getting this idea in my head that he's literally waited until PE, until phys ed. And he's waiting for them, like, they're doing their exercises. They're all thirsty and like, hey, you always steal my drink, right? Would you like some of my drink now? Are you thirsty? Do you want some of this drink? Huh? And then these dumb kids, these dumb bullies are just like, oh my God, oh, thank you so much. Like, and do you know what? I think I deserve it. Based on the scenario that I've just completely dreamt up in my head based on no information. Like, I'm sure we'll find out in a second when we read a little bit more of this that it's not that at all. That this kid was just a psychopath encouraged and egged on by his mother. It was something terrible like that. But the scenario in my head, if that is what happened, if the kid waited until PE and then just offers the bullies that always steal the drink off him, offers them a drink and then they take it, they deserve everything that happened to them. Fuck them. Because firstly, if you're a bully at school, that's not cool. So you deserve it off the back of that. But secondly, if you're stupid enough to take the offer of a drink from the kid that you always steal off, and you don't think that's going to be some sort of trap? Maybe the world and society and everything is better off without you. Maybe civilization as a whole, maybe it's a net benefit if you're removed from it. I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. You know, maybe it's for the best that you're taken out now with some sort of, like, little silly news story in Texas with a couple of psychopaths. Maybe it's best that you're removed now rather than, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, you end up qualifying for a senior job in a White House administration and your cretiny costs 10,000 lives somewhere. Maybe it's a net positive. You got to see the positives, guys. It's what I always say with the show. You know, some people say it's a bit of a downer. Some people say it's very crestfallen and gallows humor and there's no hope anywhere. I refute all of that. You've got to see the positives. It says, the liquid in the sports bottle was found to contain a mixture of lemon, salt, and vinegar. Shortly after the child consumed the drink, he began experiencing nausea and a headache, police said. Wow, this is a scoop, isn't it? So lemon, salt, and vinegar. I mean, the bullying, unforgivable. You deserve this. If you took the drink from the kid that you bullied, your stupidity condemns you to deserving this. If you drank the drink as you're drinking it and it tasted of lemon, salt and vinegar and you were like, well, this tastes a little bit weird, but I've started, so I'll finish. And you continued drinking the lemon, salty vinegar drink. Oh my God, you deserve this. You know, it's like when you see a news story about someone who climbed over the guard railings on the top of a cliff that says, don't step over here. This is hugely dangerous. And they ignore it and they climb over there to get like a selfie. And then they fall 500 feet to their death. They die. And you read that story and you go, yeah, well, you know. You know, I mean, like, I'm sad for his family. But also, you know, if you take that idiot and then this one and that one and this group of idiots over here and then you pan out, you know, one of them probably would have made a huge mistake at some point that would have cost a lot of people their lives. So even if you, like, shrug at, like, 20 morons dying, if actually the result of it, like the net benefit of it, is that 2,000 people, regular people, not morons, kept their lives, you have to kind of shrug a bit and be like, maybe it's for the best. Maybe it's a net positive. That's what I keep saying. I keep telling you guys, you've got to think positively. Anyway, it says, through the course of the investigation, it was learned that the mother of the student who provided the drink intentionally mixed the contents of the drink to allegedly prevent her son's drink from being stolen at school by other students. Good. Good. I'm cheering her on here from the UK. Well done, Jennifer. The officers added that although the contents of the drink were non-toxic, the child had to be taken to hospital as a result of consuming it. Like, you know what I would have done if I was that kid? You know, like the kid starts falling ill, the bully, and then, you know, the cops get called, the teachers are all like that. Who gave you the drink? Who gave you this drink that made you so ill? And then he points over there. He's just like, it was Chet over there. It was him. Like, if I was Chet or, you know, Craig or Taylor or whatever they call their kids over there now. This is Texas, actually, isn't it? So it's probably like Buck Jr. or Hank Jr. or something. If it, like, they're pointing you over there. If that was me, I would have been like, what? Like, I like lemon, vinegar and salt juice. That's my body can handle it. That's what I drink. It's not my fault if he, like, bullies me for my drink. That's my drink. He had it. He drank it. Boo-hoo. I mean, this is Texas, right? So, I mean, it's a bit weird that if you think about it, that kid and that mother probably would have got in less trouble if they had just, like, put whiskey in there or, like, brandy, right? Then give that to the school bully. If he's the sort of school bully that we're all imagining, you know, a bit brawn, a bit, you know, brash, possibly a bit chubby, walks around, you know, beating up the other kids, that sort of archetypal school bully in a secondary school. I feel like if you caught that kid with brandy or whiskey on his breath, wouldn't you be like, well, that's, yeah, okay, look, detention, or you'd kick him out of school. Then it'd be problem solved. No more bully, no more bullying. The kid gets kicked out of school, which he probably would have ended up getting kicked out of anyway. I'm just saying, next time, think it through, Jenny, all right? Anyway, it closes off with the hospital staff informed the investigator that the child victim required additional medical monitoring and would eventually be discharged from the hospital. Do you reckon they charge the kids? Like, if it's like vinegar, lemon and blah, blah, blah juice, like, it, to me, that seems like a silly little thing. Maybe they had to pump the kid's stomach. Probably not, though. They probably just, like, waited for him to pass it out the other end, you know? But to me, that feels like a sort of, you know, 5 hours in A&E, 5 hours in the kids' ward, something along those lines. But this is America, and this is Texas, where there's, like, no taxes. So I don't know what the public services are like in Texas, man. Like, so is this really a story about medical debt, you know? Like, the mum finds out that her kid's being bullied. She hands him the lemon, salt and whatever drink. She's like, make them drink this. The kid ends up in a hospital with his stomach pumped. And then the mother of the bully is like, what the fuck is this? This has cost me $50,000. Who sent you there? And the kid's like, oh, it's this kid I've been bullying a little. I don't give a shit if you murdered his dog. If you bog washed his head a couple times down the toilet. Bog-washing a child's head should not result in a $50,000 fine. I want to see that bitch jailed. So this is really a story about good old medical debt, probably. I mean, you know, I don't know. And it says, the mother who mixed the drink, Jennifer Lynn Rossi, 45, was charged with injury to a child causing bodily injury and was currently being held in jail. I feel like she needs us to raise a bond you know, or her, you know, what's it called? Bail, right? Somebody should pick up the tab for that bail. Because honestly, I get it. I fully understand. If somebody went after my kid and I knew that I couldn't, you know, protect them in school, or like if I saw the bully at the school gates, if I hit the bully, then I would get into trouble. Like if I knew that I was prohibited from behaving in that way to protect my son, I might be tempted to do something like that. I'm not saying you should do it or it was perfectly right for her to do it. I'm just saying I get it, guys. Right, so the next story that I wanted to talk about today, I wanted to keep this over in the US for a second, because we're all getting a little bit crazy about the budget. We're all getting a little bit crazy about when the next election is going to be. And I feel like everyone's talking about those things. So I've done a little bit of Americana. Now I would like to talk about Donald Trump just for a second, but not the court cases that are really, you know, sort of that everyone's talking about, not the Georgia court case, not the January the 6th trial. There is another court process that very few people are discussing at the moment.
The DOJ report detailing the dossier claimed the Russians had this file on Trump's alleged sexual activities that occurred allegedly while in Russia, and this alleged tape of him with allegedly prostitutes at a presidential suite at the Ritz-Carlton.
Trump is suing a British private investigations firm over the infamous dossier that disrupted his 2016 bid for president.
So, let's take a wee look, shall we? This is in The Independent, if you want to go and seek it out. It says, court forces Trump to pay legal fees for the company that he sued over the Russian sex party allegations. Now, frequent listeners, again, or veteran listeners and viewers will know that this is a story we touched on a couple of times. Because it's so weird, right? There's this theory, sort of backed up or rooted in the Steele report, the Steele dossier. It was compiled by an ex-MI6 officer called Christopher Steele. And he found intelligence to suggest that the whole deal with Donald Trump is essentially that when he was in St. Petersburg, he stayed at a hotel and he was told that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama had also stayed in this presidential suite or something. And that then in that suite, he defiled the bed to show his, you know, disappreciation or unappreciation of the Obamas. And that also in that hotel or another hotel, I can't remember now, there was some sort of Russian hooker sex party that took place. And that there was a lot of golden showers elements to this. So fairly salacious stuff, fairly scandalous. And all apparently backed up by the intelligence gathered by this Christopher Steele guy. So why are we bringing this up again now, dear listeners? Well, let's have a little look, shall we? So, yes, this is in The Independent. It says, court forces Trump to pay legal fees for the company that he sued over Russian sex party allegations. The High Court was told Donald Trump was bringing a data protection claim over memos claiming he engaged in golden showers with prostitutes in Moscow. Now, that's quite a key thing. Let's just focus on that just for a moment, guys, because if one of my political adversaries, if Calvin Robinson, the fake vicar guy, not Rishi Sunak, he's one fake vicar. He's over here. No, Calvin Robinson is a whole other fake vicar. I don't know what it is about conservatives, alt-right people. They love doing the vicar thing. But anyway, if one of my political adversaries, Calvin Robinson, Darren Grimes, if they accused me of defiling a bed or, you know, engaging in golden showers with prostitutes in Moscow or St. Petersburg or whatever, I think I would be inclined to sue them. And through that process, there would be a you know, a disclosure period. Everyone would have to share documents and we would eventually, in theory, get to the truth. Because I would know that I had not engaged in that. However, Donald Trump is not doing that. And I think that's interesting. What Donald Trump is doing is he's suing for data protection. He's like, they are not your memos. They're my memos. And maybe they, I think data protection law, isn't it like, it's got my personal, like my address or my phone number, or there's sensitive identifiable information in there. That's data protection. You can't publish that. It's something along those lines. He's not saying, this didn't happen. How dare you say this about me? I'm going to sue you for millions and millions of dollars. He's not saying that. He's saying, what I'm really interested in is data protection. I just think it's a little bit untoward. It's not really on that you have breached my data protection. That's what I care about. Terrible Trump impression. I just did my generic American voice there. Anyway, let's have a little bit of a read here, shall we? Donald Trump will have to pay the six-figure legal costs of the company he sued over allegations he took part in perverted sex acts and gave bribes to Russian officials. The former and possible future US president brought legal action against Orbis Business Intelligence, a consultancy founded by a former MI6 officer. Christopher Steele, who previously ran the Secret Intelligence Service's Russia desk. So this is the guy who knows what he's talking about, right? I would say XMI6, Russia intelligence desk. You know, it's not telling me, it's not bringing connotations of a lack of credibility to me. He said that Trump had been compromised by the Russian security service, the FSB, which is the sort of the follow-on from the KGB. It says, at a hearing last year, the High Court was told Mr. Trump was bringing a data protection claim over two memos in the dossier, which claimed he had taken part in sex parties while in St. Petersburg and engaged in golden showers with prostitutes in Moscow. Hell of a holiday, Donnie. Like, I wonder what his TripAdvisor review was like after that one. Anyway, it says, at a hearing in London last year, the High Court was told Mr. Trump would be bringing a data protection claim over the two memos in the dossier, which claimed he'd taken part in the sex parties and the golden showers. In a ruling last month, Mrs. Justice Stein threw out Trump's case, finding his compensation claim was bound to fail. And in an order obtained by the PA news agency on Thursday, the judge also said the Republican frontrunner will now pay Orbis's costs of the entire claim. And she said that's going to be about 600 grand. She said 300 grand should be paid by Mr. Trump before the total costs are decided by a specialist judge. Woo! And that's on top of the $450 million he got saddled with last week. Like, imagine being Trump's accountant. Like, now. Imagine if you've been with him for like 30 years, you know, throughout like the 80s and the 90s, he's making all this money. He's got this real estate project over here. He's got Trump University. He's making bank, is our Donny. And you're his accountant. And you tell all your friends at your dinner soirees and parties and charity galas, well, you know, I've been working for Donald Trump for the last 15 years. And then he gets into the politics phase. And now it's like every other week. It's like, yeah, I got hit with a $450 million fine. Yo, Jesus, Donnie. Jesus. Then this week it's like, yeah, we're going to have to pay another $600,000. Oh my God, you're killing me. You're killing me, Donnie. Can you find a way to make money, please? He's like, should we do another NFT or an altcoin? Let's reel off another 100,000 Trump coins. You know, and the accountant's like, hey, haven't you got some more rallies or TV appearances? Get a text Trump to 18022 or, you know, whatever. In comes this influx, this deluge of Republican, blue collar, disillusioned Newsmax, Fox News types. I've got to donate to Trump. He a billionaire, but I got to give my hard earned money to Mr. Trump. Suddenly just way back in the green. You did it, Donnie. He's like, yeah, I'm back. I'm back, baby. Anyway, let's keep reading. So it says the order from early February also said Mr. Trump had made no attempt to bring an appeal, which I like. This is why I think this story is interesting, because he's not suing them for libel or slander. He's not saying this didn't happen, so you need to prove that it happened or whatever. He's saying it's data protection. And he's not appealing this decision because he knows that there's no way that he could prove what he's saying, like that it didn't happen. And they can prove pretty much that it happened, I think, allegedly, reportedly. It says the dossier made up of more than a dozen memos was produced by Orbis in 2016 ahead of the US election. At the hearing in 2023, Hugh Tomlinson for Trump described the allegations in the memos, which also included a claim that the 77-year-old had defiled a bed previously used by former President Barack Obama and his wife. They described these allegations in the memos as egregiously inaccurate, right? Focus on that. And on top of the other stuff that I've just said, they described the allegations as egregiously inaccurate. Not a complete fabrication, an outright lie. These didn't happen. We're going to sue them. Egregiously inaccurate. They didn't say anything about what's inaccurate about them. As far as I can tell from this, they just said they're egregiously inaccurate. That's like when somebody accuses you of something and then you say, oh, don't listen to them. Their story is littered with inaccuracies. And you're like, oh, okay, well, what's inaccurate about it? Oh, well, because it's their story is full of holes and it happened 10 years ago, littered with inaccurate. And you're like, what specifically is inaccurate? You know, let's talk about it. Let's just try to get to the truth. No, just don't listen. You know, it's like, it's that thing. It's the guy that's accused of something horrendous trying to just obfuscate and dance around the obvious truth, which is that this shit happened. Now, this is what winds people up about rich people and poor people. You know, here you've got a rich guy who's previously been president. But this is before he became president the first time, right? That this thing was published, I think. Did they say it was in 2016 or 2017? I can't remember now. But he's still going like for the presidency again, right? The most important job in America, if not the world, some would say. And here is a story with some credibility, by the sounds of it, that he's engaged in behaviours that have exposed him to risk of being blackmailed, of being compromised. And yet, what's the penalty there? What is the punishment? Like, if somebody goes, were you compromised by the FSB? Are you under Putin's control? Are you a Russian asset? He gets to just go, oh, it was years ago. It was littered with inaccuracies. It's egregiously inaccurate. And then that's the end of it. He tries to sue the guy to shut him up or to get rid of these allegations or rubbish them or muddy the waters a bit. He loses that case. He's got to pay a few quid, but that's fine. He could probably afford another $300,000 or whatever, but that's the end of it. What happens to Donald Trump? He'll probably go on to become president again, twice, for the second time. Meanwhile, this bitch in Texas protects her child with a weird lemony vinegary salt drink, and the cops get called. And they're like, you go to jail, bitch. Like, why can't she just turn around and go like, ah, their story is littered with inaccuracies. Well, they're saying that you poisoned their child. Yes, that's egregiously inaccurate. They're literally saying that you created a drink, a concoction, a potion, gave it to your child with the specific intention of hospitalizing this child. May or like possibly not to medically bankrupt them, but that could be a factor. You know, why can't the mother of the year over there, my heroine in Texas over there, Jennifer Rossi, why can't she just look at the cop and be like, well, yeah, that's it's an interesting theory there, sir. Why don't you get your lawyers to talk to my lawyers? And did you write that stuff down in your pocket? But well, that's data protection. I'm afraid I'm going to have to confiscate that. Okay, could you hold on to this? You guys talk to each other. We'll delay it and whatever, you know, he'll never get to court. Why can't she do that? Why is it always like the rich guys get to delay and obfuscate and circumvent processes? This woman protecting her kid ends up in jail. God. Frustrating, isn't it? Lord, can somebody explain it to me? Lord, Mary, Jesus and Joseph, please can you explain to me why it's so unfair? Then the sexless, neutered parish cleric that is Rishi Sunak storms in like, The Lord works in mysterious ways, aid. The Lord has a master plan, aid.
By those who look out for their neighbor, treat others as they would like to be treated.
I mean, it'd be really wild, wouldn't it, if it turned out that this was true. I mean, I personally feel like it probably is. Like, it feels to me like there's more credibility on the side of the idea that this happened than on the side that it didn't. Like, because the people who say that it didn't can't provide any evidence to say that it didn't. But the people that say that it did happen have, like, a backstory of MI6 and intelligence and all of the documents. So it stands to reason, like, to me. Anyway, I mean, what if it turns out that it is actually true and that he has been compromised this entire time? And that the West, in terms of, like, you know, the UK, the US, that we have become so destabilized, and all of it comes back to just one man pissing and shitting the bed. Like, the power of a bit of shit and piss, guys. Just consider that for a minute. A bit of shit and piss in a bed from a guy in his 70s. I mean, it's not that outrageous, is it? You can't be that embarrassed about a bit of shit and piss in your bed. And yet, the power that those two substances hold has been sufficient to completely upend Western liberal democracy. I mean, I was wondering earlier, like, what will I call this episode? But now I'm, you know, shit and piss ruined democracy. That feels like that's quite a snappy title, isn't it? Certainly no worse than any of the other ones. I mean, here's a poll for you. You know, how many of you listening to this, watching this on the premiere Friday night, or indeed catching up like later when it comes back on YouTube 2 days later, if you're in the comments section, whatever, if you've made it this far through one episode of this, how many of you genuinely think that that thing happened? Is that true? Has he been compromised? Or, because I tabled this question to Phil from A Different Bias, a very popular YouTube channel. Go and check it out if you haven't yet. I tabled this question to him when he was on Labour Social a few weeks ago. And I said, do you believe that that happened? And he was like, no, like, Trump is like a useful idiot to Putin. Like, his theory is, like, he goes, Trump just likes being flattered. And Putin was, you know, supportive in some capacity to him. Trump likes being seen to be a sort of, I don't know if he loves the label of authoritarian leader, or if he just likes kind of scaring people, or if he likes being center of attention. But his theory was such that he felt this is all just around flattery and ego and all of that. I was like, I think this is real. I think this has happened. It explains so much. He can't criticize Putin. He's talking about pulling out of NATO. I don't think there's one policy that Putin has done or said or enacted or implemented that Donald Trump has publicly distanced himself from. And that, to me, stinks to high heaven. But anyway, that's me and that's Phil from A Different Bias. What do you guys think in the comments section, in the live chat? If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, jump over on Twitter and let me know. Because I'm pretty certain. I'm going to say I'm 70-30 certain that this did happen. Anyway, that's it for this one, guys. Big thanks to the Patreons and the YouTube community backers. Their names are up on the screen right now. Look at them, guys. They're glorious. I'll be back next week on Tuesday or Wednesday with a solo show. And next Friday night, I should have my guest Sean Adams with me. If you're not on the Patreon or the YouTube community already, then maybe go and check those out. There'll be links to both in the description to this episode below. But for right now, I need to go. Right now, future me is in London getting smashed. But right now, this me needs to get on with a little bit of work. I know that's not very exciting or edgy, is it, to say, oh, I better get on with some work, you know? So it's too early for a beer as well, as I'm recording this on my lunch break. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll toast you all, because it's Friday night for you guys, right? So pour yourself a wine, get yourself a beer, you know, all of that stuff. I'll toast you with the finest salt, lemon, and vinegar juice you ever did see. Good night.